Hey guys, welcome to an all new episode of Strong Style Central. I am your host, Mike Short, and always with me is Jason Andrews. Jason, how are you?
Good, Mike. It's springtime in Boston.
Yeah, you guys are getting pretty warm weather, right?
At least just for today. I don't know about tomorrow. I think it's going to fall back into the typical, but I think it's going to be over 50 degrees today. It should be actually already. I haven't been outside, only to the gym, and it's nice and sunny and quite mild out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we've been getting a lot of rain the past few days, which is good for San Diego.
Yeah, I was talking to my grandfather who lives in Del Mar, and he said that whatever rain they're getting is pretty insignificant out in like Del Mar and San Diego, but Northern California is apparently getting wrecked right now. So
yeah, we got, Friday was like crazy, like downpours.
It must be nice. It must feel awesome, like to not see rain for a significant portion of time and then just get like a deluge just like coming down. I'm a big fan of rain. I'm not a big fan of snow, but I like how rain is like, you know, it can be very powerful yet insignificant at the same time.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Like you said, it's nice to get once in a while. But I lived in Seattle for a year, and it really took its toll on on the day to day. When you don't see the sun for like 3 weeks at a time, it really starts to bug you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, for sure. So today we don't have any shows to review or anything, but we have a few shows coming up. We have the Togi Makabe 20th anniversary show at Korakuen, and then we have the two ROH Honor Rising shows, which take place next week, also at Korakuen. So we'll run through those cards. We'll talk about a few other things that is going on in New Japan, and we'll wrap it up. It'll be a nice short show, maybe. Today
we can only say maybe, but that's the goal. We want to be quick, impactful, and precise.
Absolutely. So how about we mention right off the top that on Reddit today someone was saying Meltzer reported that Zack Sabre Jr. will be doing some dates with New Japan. I for one I'm pretty excited about that. I'm a fan of Zack Sabre Jr. The first few times I saw him wrestle, I didn't really get the hype that much. But the more I'm watching him, the more I'm enjoying him. I saw that match with Marty Scurll from a Rev Pro show a month or two back. And they just had an absolute incredible match, which made me really a fan of both guys because I wasn't huge on Marty Scurll either.
Do you think that some of that had to do with the Rev Pro crowd?
No, I think it was like a 35-40 minute match, and they just told a really good story in that match. The crowd's always can add to the excitement, but they could have done that match anywhere, and I think it would have been really good. But they had a match in PWG over Bola weekend. And it was, I think it was the final, and I don't think it was nearly as good as the Rev Pro match.
You want a little bit of breaking news, some pretty interesting breaking news?
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't call it breaking, and so we're not a pro wrestling guerrilla podcast. We will not adhere to their canon, and I realize that certain people are waiting to watch the shows. So if you are a fan of PWG and you're going to buy the video for the show that happened last night, turn us off right now, or at least mute us for about 25, 35, maybe a minute.
The show in which I could not get tickets to.
Marty Scurll and Zack Sabre Jr. formed an alliance last night at PWG post title retention for Zack Sabre Jr. against Chuck Taylor. Or I guess he's going by just Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
So Zack Sabre Jr. is officially heel in the PWG canon right now.
Oh, nice.
And Marty Scurll has always been a heel, as far as I know. I haven't followed him closely. So apparently they had an alliance at one point in the UK. I can't remember I don't know the name of their team, like Team High Stakes or some randomness like that I read. But I thought that was pretty interesting. We're hoping, you know, with this Ring of Honor tie-in that you can expect to see Marty Scurll come in as well. I feel like New Japan is really, really pushing hard to get as much top talent as they can. And if Zack Sabre Jr. is a junior, as his name would suggest, in New Japan, the junior division in New Japan is far and away the best junior division in the entire world of pro wrestling, without question. I could say that probably even without Zack Sabre Jr., you add Zack Sabre Jr. and, you know, WWE could do a Cruiserweight Classic all they want. I feel like if the juniors are in New Japan with what they have for talent are booked properly, you can have quite an amazing Best of the Super Juniors tournament this year, with lots of different neat outcomes. And then also with the possibility of him going heavyweight, that you're going to get maybe some matches with Shibata. And you'll probably see him wrestle against Ospreay and things of that nature in more competitive, maybe non-junior matches. So that's pretty much what my thought on Zack Sabre Jr. coming in is. I think that there's a world of possibility, and if done correctly, he could make a sort of another more of a global name for himself, sort of how Kenny Omega has going over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I'm excited for Zack Sabre Jr. to come to New Japan. You mentioned Marty Scurll. One thing we'll get into a little bit more a little later is he wasn't announced for the Honor Rising shows, and I think that's just like a huge mistake on Ring of Honor's part.
Without question.
He has an exclusive contract with them. So, like, even if he's booked somewhere else, I know it's not the best thing to do, but ROH could pull him from whatever shows.
I don't know if – can they pull him from shows in Great Britain? Like, if he's doing a Rev Pro show, because isn't he technically still really kind of their guy? I don't really know how those contracts work with those exclusivity deals. Because it feels like the Young Bucks can pretty much just call up Ring of Honor and be like, hey, like, we got an offer to do this show. We're going to do it, all right? And they're going to be like, yeah, you're the Young Bucks. You can pretty much do whatever you want. That's the Young Bucks. They're probably the biggest independent name in the last, 5 years. So.
Yeah, they're easily the biggest act in Ring of Honor, especially now.
Oh boy. Yeah, I mean these Honor Rising shows, last year I remember being pretty excited for them, and I think last year was what made my excitement of this year wane quite a bit. The cards themselves are not really that good. They have some intriguing matches and intriguing moments. Potentially, but I just looked at some of the matches and they're just kind of head scratchers.
Absolutely.
I guess while we're talking about it, maybe we can stray a bit from the path and go a little bit out of order. Why don't we talk about those shows first? I don't really know that I have much to say about them, but I know that, the Ring of Honor fan base and the New Japan fan base, so they kind of meet in the middle sometimes. So, if you're a fan of both products, hopefully you get what you want. But if you're a fan of Ring of Honor and you still like Delirious, I don't know what your problem is. He's not entertaining. He's not funny. And there's no reason for him to be here.
Yeah, I imagine because he has like, well, he doesn't have to be over in Japan, but since he's the booker, I understand him going to Japan. And I guess just since he's there, he's throwing himself in the matches.
But why isn't Christopher Daniels fucking booking Ring of Honor?
Why isn't anyone besides Delirious booking Ring of Honor?
Christopher Daniels is the perfect guy to do it. He's on the like the downside of his career. He's pretty much nothing left to do. I know he's wrestling for the title. He was champion like in the beginning, right?
No, he's never won the Ring of Honor championship.
Oh, I guess that's kind of intriguing. Hopefully they do the right thing and they just give him the belt, because
I don't know, because they already announced Dalton Castle versus Adam Cole for the belt in Orlando.
Oh. Well, maybe maybe they can work the triple threat scenario into it, or maybe they're just so bad at coming up with booking scenarios that they've already given away that their title defenses.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, jeez, man, I have so many complaints about Ring of Honor right now, and it really sucks because I'm Ring of Honor is mainly like what got me back into really loving professional wrestling. So I definitely have a special place for Ring of Honor. To see it, well, I guess they're not doing bad, but to see it where it is right now is just really disappointing, man. Like when they're,
go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
They're put, it used to be such a workhorse company where they were having the best matches in the world. I mean, like at one point they were having incredible top to bottom cards, and now it seems like their top guys aren't the greatest workers, especially with Kyle O'Reilly leaving and Roderick Strong.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that you would necessarily say that their champion, Adam Cole, is known for his high work rate.
No, I think he's a fun character.
He's a very pro wrestler, if that makes any sense. You can tell that he's definitely kind of come up in the vein of Shawn Michaels. And,
sure.
And so I would say that he's more sports entertainer than he is pro wrestler, but he can work. And I just feel like, you know, we got a chance to see that with Kyle O'Reilly. The matches that they had together were probably some of the best Ring of Honor matches. You know, they had that triple threat on that final battle show as well. Some of the best Ring of Honor matches that they've had have been centered around Kyle O'Reilly, though, and him leaving was a pretty big blow. I think Roderick Strong is one of those sneaky ones that, like, you think about how kind of he at one point could have and more than likely should have been the face of Ring of Honor completely, like altogether, but they didn't really do that with him. It might have been on his side too. I don't know much behind the scenes stuff, but Roderick Strong is one of those kind of guys that I compare him to Bryan Danielson, because I've seen them a lot together. Like when I watch those early Ring of Honor shows, the obvious parallels are there. You know, where Bryan Danielson has his mat work and, you know, Roderick Strong has his wrestling, his backbreakers, his things of that nature. But they both are known for selling really well and kind of like really creating big moments in matches without even having to do too much. And I think that Roderick Strong going to NXT or WWE, wherever he ends up going, is another big blow. But it just doesn't seem like they have a guy right now that has that it factor that would bring the glory days of Ring of Honor back.
Yeah.
Someone that can sort of do it all but has that, that Ring of Honor toughness to him, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. They don't have any real strong workhorses on their roster right now.
At least from what they're giving us. I can't say that a lot of those guys don't have the potential to put on those kind of matches. That's kind of where the product has gone. It's more, you know, because they're doing lots of TV now. It's more TV style. And when I went to the, I think it was the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view. I don't remember the exact name of it. When I went to that pay-per-view, the best match on the show, aside from that ladder war spectacle, because that ladder war spectacle, like, it had so much going for it and so much, like, it was a perfect for a live crowd because there was so many table spots and it was crazy as fuck. But like the best worked match of the whole night was Dragon Lee versus Hiromu. Like far and away.
Yeah, sure.
Even with Naito against Jay Lethal, which could have been a classic, I just feel like it never really did that much for me.
No, it never really got out of first gear either, because I watched that show.
But it's that's the thing. It's like if you have they're using the Ring of the New Japan talent, and I will watch Naito open the card, or I'll, you know, Hiromu in any position on a New Japan card, but it just feels like Ring of Honor just doesn't know how to use their New Japan guys correctly either.
No, they don't.
If I'm thinking back to it, yeah. Even from the very beginning of their relationship, I remember going to the Hammerstein Ballroom and seeing Okada work a triple threat with AJ Styles and Michael Elgin. And I was just kind of like, okay, why is their ace in a triple threat? Like, why is Tanahashi wrestling Mike fucking Bennett? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Like, if you're bringing these guys over, I know you want to showcase your own talent, but just put them in the ring together. You know, put Tanahashi and Okada in the ring together. Just make good decisions.
That you can't completely put the blame on Ring of Honor either, because you don't know what they're allowed to do with the New Japan talent, because I'm sure...
Well, whoever decided to do Kevin Steen and Shinsuke Nakamura was a genius.
Right.
Right, but that was the only moment in that show where I was like, it's perfect booking. This is exactly the matchup that I would want to see when I see both of these companies working together.
Absolutely.
And it was pretty much Kevin Steen's farewell, by and large. I know he worked a little bit more there, but nothing came out of it. Other than, you know, that having that great match, there were no real ramifications. I mean, AJ Styles was super over, and, you know, I just feel like they haven't really kind of done anything to blow anybody away with this relationship.
No. I don't know. I mean, it's fun seeing those guys whenever they come over, but you make a good point.
There's no long-term ramifications of the decisions that they make. And I feel like if they even just one time worked a storyline that went over the course of a couple of months where a Ring of Honor guy was, I don't know, constantly beating the New Japan guy to earn a title shot in a big spot, and they get more than 10 minutes at a big show in New Japan, it would give people something to be excited about.
Right.
Exactly. And there's a, you know, a part of me that just really wants to be behind this because it's a good opportunity, but it seems like New Japan, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is ready to just kind of move on from this, and they just need the timing is important, and they're, you know, pretty much building their roster. You know, I think it looks like they might take War Machine.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting right now with what's happening. Like you said, it seems like New Japan is kind of bulking up the roster and they're getting ready to do those US shows. But Ring of Honor's doing the War of the Worlds tour with New Japan in a few months.
Still doing that. Are they going back to Hammerstein?
They're doing I think they're doing a Philly, maybe Philly, Boston, New York.
Are they doing Boston?
I know they're doing Philly.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing Boston. I know they're coming back to Boston for a pay-per-view. I'm going to politely skip that one.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to the Vegas show in a few weeks, but I don't think I'm going to go. Too much driving.
Yeah, a long car trip, and I know you had a blast last time you did it, for sure, but I don't know. You're going to get Yoshihashi, right? And then... I don't know, Bone Soldier. Is Bone Soldier going to be there?
Yeah, we're getting Yoshihashi and Liger for WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, so they're not doing Vegas? I thought Yoshi...
No, Vegas, there's no New Japan. Well, I mean, Roppongi Vice and Young Bucks, but I don't know.
Are they wrestling on that show?
Yeah, they're wrestling. Yeah, they're doing a Vegas street fight.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah, that's aside from the street fight aspect, I'm interested in that matchup. They have their match at the Dome was stellar, so I can imagine that they'll do some fun stuff in this one.
Yeah, so the War of the Worlds show is Toronto, Dearborn, and Philly.
Dearborn? That's Michigan?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if Okada's coming over for that.
They're pretty spread out too, which makes me feel like they should do more shows. They're doing a show the 7th, the 10th, and the 14th. Why don't they just try to cram in a few more shows in between there?
This is May?
May, yes.
May. Yeah, weird.
Yeah. ROH also announced a partnership with Stardom, which is cool.
Oh, really? Are they going to do like a...
They're doing like a Women of Honor? They're doing a tryout camp. And Stardom representatives are going to be there. So I imagine that's going to lead to bringing over some Stardom women.
That's a really cool angle for Ring of Honor to take. If they can get and like into bolster like a really strong women's division.
Well, when they announced they were going to introduce it,
I fucking love women's wrestling, Mike. I know that we've had our discussions on it from time to time, but women's wrestling can be amazing.
Well, I'm a diehard Chris Wolf fan, but
I've heard of Chris Wolf, but I haven't seen her. I've heard she's pretty intense.
Yeah, her story's really cool too. I think she was like, I don't want to butcher it, so I won't even say it. But look up her like Wikipedia or something, because it seems like she just like was a photographer or something, and then she like saw wrestling and thought it was really cool and.
But
got into it. Like,
she completely like, trained in, later in life. Japan, right? She's one of the only women to like start and stay in Japan, right? Like
yeah,
she didn't she never trained wrestling over here.
No.
That's cool. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Stardom is dope.
Yeah, I should watch some more shows.
Joshi has like the potential to be like really cringy at times, but if it's Stardom, typically it's not at all. Like there's some just really like the way that those women hit each other, man, is really intense.
Yeah.
And they make it look legal. They're very athletic. What were you gonna say? Sorry.
I was going to say we're really straying off the path here.
Yes, but I mean, we're still in Japan, right? And we're talking about, so we're not too far off the path. There's a way we can go here, right? A way we can go here, left. But
whatever. There's not all that much to talk about.
No, we'll stay straight. We're going to go into Honor Rising and talk about Ring of Honor and hopefully having a at least somewhat memorable moments coming out of this show. But again, so like with the talent they brought over, there's only a couple of singles matches to speak of. With Yoshihashi coming around WrestleMania weekend, Mike, is there a possibility that Yoshihashi takes the strap off of Adam Cole here?
No, but I would love it.
So you're saying there's a 0% chance of this happening?
0% chance. But I would be a fan of it. I wish he would take the belt off of Adam Cole.
Yoshihashi's Loose Explosion U.S. tour.
Yeah.
Starts at Honor Rising. We'll see him in Vegas.
No.
Making some stops in Dearborn.
I really hope ROH announces a few more New Japan guys for WrestleMania weekend. Because Yoshihashi and Liger, they're great, but I hope they announce a few more guys.
I think maybe, you know, it would be cool if they sent Well, I mean, now as Hiromu, it's completely different. So if he was there, that would be really fun. Yeah. They're gonna do. Well, you Rev figure Pro they have has, to do something.
Rev Pro has Shibata as their champ right now, so I'm hoping Rev Pro announces Shibata. If they announce Shibata, then I imagine ROH would probably grab Shibata too.
Maybe
they have shows Friday and Saturday, so he could work both.
Yeah, Ring of Honor had Shibata lose via ref stoppage at Field of Honor. So keep Shibata away from Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor had Shibata lose to Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
Keep him away!
Yeah, but he beat, who the fuck did he beat? Silas Young.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
something.
Silas Young is coming over for this tour. So when's the first night? That's going to be Sunday? Next Sunday?
Let's get into it. Next Sunday, February 26th. And I'm bringing up the match lineup now. Okay. Our first match, we have David Finlay, Juice Robinson, and Kushida. Jado, Gato, and Silas Young. Should be fun. I'm a fan of pretty much everyone. Silas Young in Japan is really interesting to me.
I agree with that. I think Silas Young is one of those guys that his ceiling is very obvious, but he can be a really good, I don't know, you know, a challenger for the title. He's very believable. He's very strong. He's good in the ring. I don't know if he has that X factor to bring him, you know, to the next level of, say, champion. But who knows? I mean, that whole gimmick that he has is actually really kind of interesting as far as
why are they doing all these meaningless multi-man tags? Like, I would have Silas Young and Ishii.
Yeah, but I mean, these guys are also the New Japan guys are also going to be going into the New Japan Cup, and the way the New Japan Cup is structured, it seems like this year is going to be a little more. There's going to be more shows. So the tour itself is going to be a little more intense than last year.
Right. They need to announce the guy soon, right?
Well, when this Makabe show happens on Tuesday, I would imagine sometime next week is when they'll announce it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if Cody Rhodes was one of them, and I don't know if it's going to be as star studded, but you know what I said last week. Pretty much like a 2 or 3 hours later, you sent me that link to Kenny Omega talking about being ready to come back and be in the New Japan Cup. So there was theory one of mine completely squashed. Yeah. And then it was like, you know, Tiger Mask W, who is that guy anyways, blah, blah, blah. And then you showed me the announcement that Okada was going to be wrestling Tiger Mask W at their anniversary show. And I was like, holy shit, like I couldn't be more wrong. But he's still not in the New Japan Cup yet, so I'm still hoping that there's at least one bragging point left on my fucking pitiful rant from last week. But yeah, the multi-man tag thing is kind of one of those things where it seems like for the New Japan guys, it could just be another chance to have fun. This seems like Fantastica Mania, but to us, we both feel like it should be more important, but maybe it's really just not that important.
Yeah, that's very true. Another thing to make note for this match is David Finlay's back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least he's on the card. Is he definitely going to be back?
I feel like he wouldn't be on the card. I mean, because they announced these cards after his injury.
Well,
it's interesting. I guess he didn't need surgery, because if he had a torn labrum, if he had surgery on it, I feel he'd be out longer.
I feel like the labrum is what got Cesaro for a long time, right? Was it torn, yeah. torn labrum or something? But that is said to be a pretty shitty injury to get.
Yeah.
So.
But
David Finlay fucking rules. So let's get it. Hopefully he comes in and he'll get a pin or something like that.
Yeah. So our second match.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't really have much to say about that first match.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. The second match, we have our never openweight six-man tag team title match. Bushi, Evil, and Sonata going up against Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I, Yeah, Tiger Mask and Liger. I'm interested to see interact with the heavy hitters in Los Ingobernables, and Delirious is probably going to do something funny. Something funny in quotations.
I can't fucking stand Delirious, the wrestler.
I've never gotten it. I've never
been a fan.
As a youngster, I was, you know, my friends would tell me this guy is crazy. The bell goes off and he turns into a madman and then that was, to me, I was just like, oh, it sounds fun, but I never really enjoyed him because he never mattered.
He never mattered ever.
I can imagine him doing really well in a place like Chikara, where his kind of character is perfect for.
His character was good in Chikara. At the time I was following it, I hadn't followed Chikara in a few years, but it still didn't matter though.
No, and some guys are just there to just be there and be on the show and be entertaining and be fun, but it, you know, Ring of Honor had this, you know, has this tradition of like sort of a lot of stuff mattering, and the same thing with New Japan. You know what I mean? These six man and eight mans don't really matter, but they still carry a level of some importance because there are important guys in these matches. This one's for titles. You know what I mean? With the story of the titles revolving, I wouldn't be all too surprised if they got the win here and then had an immediate rematch the next night. But we'll go into the next night after this, obviously. I don't really care.
So Delirious is in a New Japan title match in 2017.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing quite well for himself as the booker of New Japan.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't stay in that.
Or sorry, not the booker of New Japan. And my brain is fried right now. The booker of Ring of Honor. Giving himself the title.
Yeah, I think there's zero chance of them winning.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like that.
Although, that's not true. I wouldn't say 0% because the never openweight six-man titles change so much.
Yeah, they do.
But, I mean, if I were Delirious and I had the choice to book this, I would definitely give myself the belt because that's more trips to Japan.
Yeah, or not book it, but at least have a pretty important points to make in your booking meetings. I doubt it's really that in depth. Like the you know, Gato's probably just gonna be like, yeah, it's the never title. So every match we give them a new home, and Delirious will, you know, I don't disagree. You know, it has a possibility of being fun. If anything. With Liger being a part of it, I like Liger working with anybody.
Yeah, of course. I don't get sick of Jushin Liger. Our next match we have. It's pretty much a straight up New Japan match. Will Ospreay, Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada going up against Tongaroa, Tamatanga, Yujiro, and Bad Luck Fale.
So the Bullet Club has made its triumphant return to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yep.
In the form of the Ring of Honor Rising shows. This match will be good because they've done it before.
Well, are they on the Makabe, the 20th anniversary shows?
I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. My guess is probably.
Yeah. We'll get into those a little later. This match, I'm not excited for it. I don't have anything to say about this match. It's not a match that I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be fun. Ospreay will probably kill himself. So, yeah. Do you have anything to say about this match?
It's more of a typical New Japan match to me, so I'm more excited about it than maybe I would be if it were just a complete New Japan show. But again, it's got Okada, it's got Ospreay. I haven't seen Gorillas of Destiny in a while. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
As it were, it looks as if no Bullet Club is on the Togi Makabe show. It's still Suzuki-Gun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Our next match, which this is the match I'm probably most excited for out of the two on a rising shows. War Machine going up against the Young Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised it's not for the ROH title. I guess they didn't want to have a title change in Japan, considering their last world title change happened in Japan. But
War Machine is the team that, to me, they're very important to the success of Ring of Honor. So if they stick around in Ring of Honor, they can have a nice long run at the top, like the Briscoes, you know, have had memorable tag title runs. They are a very memorable tag team, and the Young Bucks, I think, are a good way to prove that point. And I think New Japan, when they booked them in the tag league, saw their potential increase pretty much day in and day out. Every single time they wrestled, they were the memorable part of their matches. And they belong in the New Japan ring.
Yeah, they are my current favorite tag team.
These tag teams are pretty much, you know, by and large, probably the most popular heavyweight tag team and most popular junior heavyweight tag team in the entire world. I guess if you're not counting WWE and their revival and, you know, all of those best tag teams that they've got, but
sure. Yeah, at least the Young Bucks. I don't know if War Machine's there yet. Like I said, they're my current favorite tag team, but on a broader scale, I'm not sure if they're that popular.
Yeah, they definitely had a very memorable tag league, and my biggest gripe was that they didn't get a spot at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, they should be the next IWGP heavyweight tag champs.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. Especially if they have a solid performance over these two shows, which I could see happening.
They did it with the Briscoes. I don't really know what the point of the story with the Briscoes was, but they did it with the Briscoes. So
the Briscoes just seemed like they couldn't get over in Japan, which
they had fucking amazing matches with those tag teams.
Couldn't agree.
Their match with the Young Bucks was awesome.
The Briscoes are amazing. I love the Briscoes, but they were not over in Japan at all. Like, that crowd just was, like, silent during their matches.
I guess from our perspective, yeah, but we weren't there either.
No, but I don't know what it was. I don't know what the lack of connection was. Because even that Young Bucks Briscoe match,
they didn't know who they were.
It was insane, yeah. Maybe they just needed more time to develop in Japan and get more of a reputation. But I don't know what it was, man.
Well, they're
War
not
Machine was it was different then. The crowd reacted to War Machine.
Oh, they are here for this tournament. Oh, I forgot. All right, this go around. Okay.
Yeah. So well, that match is, like I said, probably the match I'm most excited for.
The more I look at this card, I have to say there is a lot more potential than I thought. Kind of just
they're going to be like fun.
The next match has the potential, except for this one cat, this Punisher Martinez. I have no idea why he's his last name is Martinez. Is that why he's mixing up with Luis
Robles? He possibly a new member.
He's probably not very Spanish at all. And if you are, I apologize. But
well, he has this like evil.
He's pretty forgettable.
Like Kevin Sullivan was managing him.
So is he the new face of the Dungeon of Doom?
Well, no, because I think they broke up. Because on the last Ring of Honor, or on the last Ring of Honor TV tapings, maybe, he turned on BJ Whitmer.
Punisher Martinez?
Yeah, and Kevin Sullivan's not being booked by Ring of Honor anymore. And the rumor is...
Why?
Apparently Delirious felt threatened for his booker position. But I don't know how true that is. and Carino's gone, so that whole stable is done.
Oh, Kevin Sullivan's a fucking gem.
And he's 70. Like, the guy's not gunning for a position.
He might be. He's a worker. Those guys are all carnies, man. But, like, who cares? Maybe Kevin Sullivan with the book in Ring of Honor would be interesting. There'd be a lot more blood.
Yeah, a lot more disqualifications and brawling. And
I've seen Punisher Martinez work. I've seen nothing superlative about him, but he can only get better.
No, but they're pushing the shit out of him on these shows, because when we get into the next night, he's in a prime spot.
Okay. Well, yeah. So this one, let's hear this one. This one's the babyface team is so fun.
Oh man, I think this match is going to be a lot of fun. We have Taguchi, Tanahashi, and Dalton Castle going up against Hiromu Takahashi, Tetsuya Naito, and Punisher Martinez. What are the chances of Taguchi and Tanahashi being the boys for Dalton Castle?
I'd say pretty high.
Oh man, if that I'm looking forward to this.
This match might be my favorite match of the whole weekend if it plays out the way
I'm telling you, man. These cards I don't think are as bad as I originally thought they were.
Here's the thing: Dalton Castle is really funny, and his gimmick is really fun. But I feel like sticking him in a six man is an egregious waste of talent for him, because he should be in a singles match.
Yeah, he's getting better and better too, man. Like, he's a solid wrestler. His match with Okada,
he's a great wrestler.
Yeah, he has really, really good German suplexes.
He's got the.
I don't like his finisher.
That workhorse guy. That guy. He's obviously not, you know, American Dragon and things of that nature. But his amateur background is enough to give him that legitimacy. The gimmick is very silly. It's very.
It's over as shit, though.
It is. It's funny seeing, you know, 30, 40, you know, 20, 30, 40-year-old men, you know, cheering this very flamboyant character in the world of pro wrestling, which is very stereotypically not into flamboyant stuff. Like, it's always been a heel gimmick, the flamboyant Gold Dust or Gorgeous George. Adrian Adonis, it's like instant heel heat because, you know, guys, they wear pink or they love glitter, but Dalton Castle has that it factor that brings him to the next level. So this match, so they're wrestling.
And it's also 2017, where the world is a little bit different than when a lot of those flamboyant characters that you mentioned were around.
Well, no, definitely. That's not my point. But like, if it were WWE, you know, and they decided to, I don't know, let's think of a guy. You know, you think of any guy on NXT right now. If they were just like, all right, so Roderick Strong, you're gonna come out and you're gonna be the first openly gay NXT heavyweight champion, and you're gonna make lots of allusions to how you want to make boys out of your audience and your opponents, and it's fucking out of this world, man. It wouldn't happen there. And but this I've listened to a podcast with Dalton Castle, and he said that this is like a very strong part of his personality, but he's always, this is his gimmick 100%. And it's very funny. It's very funny and it works. I like his gear is awesome. His theme song is pretty decent. The boys are really fun too. Like I think it's an awesome thing.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of bummed the boys aren't going to be over.
That's why his boys are going to be Tanahashi and maybe Nakanishi.
Oh man, yeah. Regardless,
that would be fun.
Regardless, like I said, I think when I first looked at these cards, I was like, oh fuck. And now running through them and talking about them, I'm a little more excited about it.
All right. Well, then, did you tell the audience who the opponents are yet, or are we ready to move on to the next one?
Oh yeah. It's Hiromu Takahashi, Tetsuya Naito, and like we were saying earlier, Punisher Martinez.
Who is the odd man out in this one?
Yes, definitely.
Because of the, you know, the Never Trios tag titles, the spot should, in my opinion, should have been either Evil or Sonata. The Evil Dalton Castle feud should be next. That should be a thing that happens soon. But interesting that Naito and Tanahashi are kind of still paired off against each other, especially in this one, because you know that Taguchi's going to be gunning for Hiromu.
Oh, yeah.
I would expect this Punisher Martinez fella to take a victory or take a pin here.
No,
you're right. You're right. Even just thinking about the next show, the Monday show. All right. Well, fun is the only word I can use to describe this. I wouldn't expect it to be memorable for other than the spots that Dalton Castle will.
Absolutely.
And just seeing, you know, him and Hiromu in the ring together, hopefully.
Yeah. Our next match, we have Shibata and Jay Lethal going up against Hangman Page and the grandson of a plumber, Cody.
Making his triumphant return to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Cody.
Just Cody.
Just Cody.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No.
I'm desperately worrying that this is going to lead to a Shibata-Cody match, which I don't want to see.
Yeah, I'd rather see Shibata-Hangman Page.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, Jay Lethal
I really
Cody
like Hangman
are
Page.
Really feuding right now because they announced a Texas bull rope match between the two in Florida. Oof. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I tried around Wrestle Kingdom. I found nothing memorable about Cody Rhodes.
No, Juice Robinson is like a star.
I wanted to give him a chance, but to be fair, he's only worked one match in New Japan. He needs an opportunity to kind of get over. And if there's one thing that Cody Rhodes is able to do historically is to make things work. He was given some pretty interesting storylines to run with in WWE. And like, he got me interested in Stardust, first of all, because he looked cool, but he had like a cool thing going. That's a tough gimmick to get over. You know what I mean? But the ring work here is what's going to speak volumes. So he's going to have to bring something more than just a crossroads. You know, I liked his little submission that he used in
sure, and his ring work
in Wrestle Kingdom
could be getting better. I mean, he's doing a bunch of these indie shows, and he's learning more. He's learning more than he ever would if he was just floundering in WWE.
Yeah, I respect
the shit out of the guy for doing what he's doing.
To come in and gun right for Shibata is a bit silly to me. To go from Juice Robinson to Shibata is a bit silly to me. So I hope I'm just reading too much into it here.
Sure, but I think they have big... No, I don't think you are. I think they have bigger plans for him, considering they gave him a spot on their biggest show of the year in a single...
Like Cody Rhodes, Cody Rhodes is going to be the face of the Bullet Club, isn't he?
I don't know.
Like he's going to be the leader of the Bullet Club, I think.
It's possible.
Going forward, because like as I said last week, I expect Kenny Omega and the Bucks to split up from the Bullet Club. I expect that like the Elite to be just them and that their thing only.
I hope you're right. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Somewhere down the line, I think it's bound to happen, but maybe sooner than later.
Yeah.
There's a Bullet Club. Well, no, because I guess Adam Cole, technically, what do they call themselves? The Super Click?
Yeah.
Right? The four of them call themselves the Super Click?
Yeah.
They couldn't be more different than the rest of Bullet Club. So it only just makes sense to me. And I think like if Cody really is going to make New Japan his home, he needs to do something memorable and impactful. And he looked like that video package. He looked like the guy in charge when they first showed him coming out of the limo, smoking the stogie with the mask on. Great video package for a very mediocre match, but the potential is there. I'm not going to be one of the guys that's just like, Cody Rhodes is boring, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's still a possibility. They just have to make it important.
Sure.
So Absolutely. Maybe he's probably, you know, the Bullet Club might get the pin in this one. Certainly not over Shibata. But I think that, like, what's even weirder about it is that Shibata and Jay Lethal together. So you know that the Cody Rhodes Shibata thing is happening. Because it doesn't make sense otherwise that Shibata would just be randomly in this tag match. I don't remember him forming an alliance with Jay Lethal.
No, and I mean, Cody's said for a while now he wants a match with Shibata.
So. Yeah, it was on his bucket list or whatever. I would, there's a huge part of me that misses the fuck out of Truth Martini. He was one of my favorite characters in Ring of Honor.
Sure.
And I would love Truth Martini to be involved in this. I wish, I don't know why he left or what happened to him, but. All I remember is that he got like kayfabe injured and then he basically never came back.
Well, he had real neck surgery.
Oh, so is he gone though? Like, is he still in their company?
He thought he was going back and they just didn't bring him back.
Oh, what a bunch of fucking assholes, man. Yeah. Truth Martini is amazing at what he does.
Yeah, and he produced Juice Robinson, so... He was
my gosh.
Juice Robinson's trainer.
New Japan, bring in Truth Martini, please.
Yeah, I'm a fan. It made Jay Lethal more interesting.
Absolutely. Made him look like a real heel. It's tough for Jay Lethal to be a heel. Everything about him screams babyface. Mm-hmm. Truth Martini brought that, you know, made that happen.
But now he lost like his personality. He's pretty much
absolutely
characterless.
Absolutely. He's basically like the Ring of Honor mainstay at this point. Yeah, he's their Chris Daniels.
I'd much rather have him go back to Black Machismo.
Sure, that was fun.
It was. It gave him character. It was someone else's character, but it gave him character.
Yeah, his impressions are elite.
Oh yeah, they're awesome. Let's get into this last match.
Yep, this is gonna be fucking bananas.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, this show is going to be a solid show. It's going to be a lot better than...
Kenny Omega's triumphant return to the New Japan ring here. I think the obvious weak link of this match being Adam Cole is not weak enough to make this match any less than, I don't know, we'll use the Meltzer hyperbole, and any less than 4 stars. Like, this is probably going to be a really good match.
Yeah, I agree.
The Briscoes are going to fucking throw Kenny Omega around the ring. It's going to be awesome. Mark Briscoe is one of my favorites. I love his like insane moveset.
Have you seen their hair lately?
Is it come back? Or are you talking about the awful haircuts that they have?
Yeah. They're absolutely terrible, but in the best way.
Jay Briscoe's hair. I remember... thinking like, what on earth did he do? Like, he looks menacing and scary bald. He looks like a crazy person with the haircut he has now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's going for.
They look great right now.
Maybe it's their homage to the Road Warriors or something, because the Road Warriors always had stupid hair.
Yeah, that's very true.
But Mark Briscoe had a lovely mane of long hair before he cut it off. I remember being pretty upset about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but now he has like the Die Antwoord guy haircut.
What is that? I haven't seen it.
I don't know if I can find a picture. Let me see.
But like, can you describe it? Is it like a Triceratops or something?
No, it's like shit. I feel like now I'm just.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah, another I'll send you a video in here, like a promo.
Where'd it come from? Like, this is like a recent promo that they did.
Yeah, within the last, I don't know, month.
Okay, all right, it's cool. Well, there's that cracking analysis of this show. Overall, the second half of the show looks like it will be a fun one. If it starts with, I don't know. We're just gonna have to wait and see. I don't want to just needlessly shit on it without, you know, really kind of giving it a chance. And when I first heard it, I was like, all right, I'm not going to give this a chance. And now I kind of really want to try, at least.
Yeah, I mean,
as fans of pro wrestling, we want Ring of Honor to succeed.
Absolutely, and I'm still a fan of Ring of Honor. I like you said, I want it to succeed. They need to mix some things up. They need to lock guys into better contracts, and they need to build new stars quickly.
Okie dokie. I agree.
All right. The next night, we have our first match. Hanare, David Finlay, and Kushida going up against Jada, Gato, and Silas Young.
This is taking place on a Monday.
This is essentially the same match, just that we're switching out. No, it's the same exact match, isn't it? That's the night before?
The same exact match as the night, the same opening match, you mean?
Yeah.
It is.
No, we're switching Juice.
Not.
For Hanare.
Yeah. Juice Robinson.
So let me ask you this. What the fuck is the point of Silas Young being on these shows?
I would assume he's going to do some comedy with Gato and Jado. Maybe he'll beat up Kushida a little bit.
I guess. I have no idea. There's no reason for him to be on these shows.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. If because I don't know, at one point War Machine had to wrestle Race Breaker. You know what I mean? And they took it seriously. And it turned out to be pretty good. So maybe Silas Young does some good work with Kushida. So
yeah, but it's two nights in Japan. He's on the opening six man, and then that's it.
Well, let's be honest. He's going over to Japan for the food, the booze, and the women.
Yeah,
happily married Silas Young. Probably has a kid.
Yeah, maybe it'll get a Kushida Silas Young match down the line.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
Yeah. I'm guessing Hanare takes the pin in this match. Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Our next match. This match should be fun. We have Taguchi, Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, Dalton Castle, and Delirious going up against Hiromu Bushi, Evil, Sonata, and Tetsuya Naito.
All of Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Except Punisher Martinez.
Except for Punisher Martinez.
This match should have a good amount of comedy spots. Dalton Castle and TG. Delirious. everything.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I would again expect that the star this whole thing is going to be Dalton Castle. He tends to figure out exactly how to stick out in a crowd, and he's.
I wish he would have got a bigger role in these two shows too.
Yeah, yeah, they could very, very theoretically do more with him coming up. So let's not, you know, bury it yet, because it could be the best match of the night. I mean, you have all of these guys in Los Ingobernables. You can expect that it's not going to be taken very seriously, but the work itself is probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, put Los Ingobernables in a multi-man tag match, and they usually shine pretty bright.
I'd be pretty happy if they did the War Games with this match.
Oh, yeah.
Just throw them all in a big cage and let them beat the blood out of each other. See what comes of it.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that.
Fantasy booking 101. All right, what's next?
Our next match, we have War Machine going up against Guerrillas of Destiny.
Yep, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I do.
If where we left Guerrillas of Destiny, they were slowly becoming a really strong tag team. Then they took the titles off of them. So I would assume this begins their redemption tale. I still predict War Machine to get the win here.
If War Machine gets the win at both shows that week, they have to be in line for a title shot.
Are you talking about Ring of Honor or New Japan?
New Japan.
Yeah, I hope so. It depends. It all depends.
And Ring of Honor, because if they beat the current Ring of Honor tag champs.
Yeah, I mean, I picture them beating the Bucks just because of the sheer size of the dudes, but
right.
Gorilla, this is going to be a Hoss match.
Oh, yeah, this match should be fun.
I agree.
They had a good match in the tag league. They did a little too much brawling in the crowd and all that, but
yeah, I remember being a little bit disappointed by that.
Yeah, but that was one of those brawling situations that I think worked. Most of the time, I'm just like, get the fuck back in the ring. But they were doing some cool stuff. So
yeah, it was very ECW.
It was very ECW, which you know I'm a fan of. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that match. Our next match, we had Juice Robinson, Tanahashi, Jay Lethal going up against Hangman Page, Yujiro, and Bad Luck Fale. This match doesn't really do too much for me. It's interesting to see Jay Lethal not really getting much out of these shows.
Yeah, this one makes sense, I guess, as far as guys that you would put together. But this seems to be, you know, more of the on the meaningless side.
Yeah,
but it's just to make way for the classic that we are going to experience. I would assume maybe right after intermission.
Yeah. So we have
without further ado, we have a championship match coming up.
Never open weight title match. We have Hirooki Goto going up against the one, the only Punisher Martinez. What the fuck did Punisher Martinez do to get a never open weight title shot? This is ridiculous. I hope Goto just beats the living shit out of him.
I would expect that Punisher Martinez is going to look pretty strong here.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Punisher Martinez kind of reminds me of Baron Corbin, the guy in the WWE, yeah, Baron, yeah. Corbin, not the, I don't know, the MMA Baron Corbin or whatever. But like he has a very similar like height, physique sort of thing. I just don't remember being very impressed by him. I'm interested to see, because if Ring of Honor is kind of putting the rocket to this guy's back, there must be something about him, you know? So I'm gonna come into it optimistic that at least we'll see something of interest here.
Yeah, I mean,
but Goto, I would assume, is gonna have a pretty emphatic victory here.
Yeah, from what I've seen of Punisher Martinez, I haven't been impressed, but that doesn't mean he can't have a good showing.
Maybe he maybe he works well in Japan. There are some guys that worked very well in Japan that didn't really translate in the United States. So there's a possibility there.
Sure. Yeah, I'll remain optimistic. Our next match is for the Ring of Honor World Championship, which I'm surprised this isn't the main event.
Right.
Which is telling on who's going to retain here. We have Yoshihashi.
You say retain. All right, we'll see.
Yoshihashi going up against Adam Cole, Bebe.
I think Hashi's getting the win here.
I think you're fucking insane.
Well, if I'm insane, I don't want to be sane.
There is zero chance of Yoshihashi winning the title here. Mm. But if it does happen, I will be a huge fan of it.
I see Yoshihashi ragdolling Adam Cole. Or they're going to screw him out of it. I don't think Cole is winning this match clean.
Cole is winning this match clean.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to our main event. Our main event is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Will Ospreay, Okada.
That's what he was in TNA. I think he was Okato. Or Okado, maybe?
I don't know. I don't watch TNA. We have Ospreay, Okada, and the Briscoe Brothers. Are the Briscoe Brothers part of Chaos? I know they like kind of are. They team with them a lot when they're in Japan.
They team together on both shows. So like in both countries.
Okay. Going up against
Shinsuke and Okada wrestling the Briscoes. I loved that match too. That was one from Philly. It's a great match.
I'll have to go back and see it. I've never watched it. They're going up against the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Cody. One name.
Sounds like a Disney gimmick.
He's like Madonna.
Sounds like a Disney gimmick. Like, oh, it's just Cody.
Yeah.
Wispy hair and tan physique. Bad singing. I don't know. It just screams Disney to me. I don't know why. This is going to be good. Cody's placement in this match is kind of odd. So, I don't really know, like, is it Okada? When I see these matches, I try to pair off the obvious.
But
feuds that are going to take place in these matches.
Probably Ospreay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the obvious choice. Cause everybody sees Okada and Kenny Omega across from each other. And you're like, okay, so this is going to be the rekindling of their relationship.
And Ospreay's on the Ring of Honor roster. So Cody versus Ospreay will probably happen in Ring of Honor.
Is Cody a champion in Ring of Honor?
No, Skrull and Adam Cole.
Who has the TV title in Ring of Honor?
Skrull.
Oh, okay, yeah. He won it in that triple threat, right?
Well, Ospreay beat Bobby Fish for the TV title. And then the next day, Skrull beat Ospreay for the TV title.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have Marty Skrull over here for these shows.
Yeah, it sucks because I heard Marty Skrull and Ospreay only have 6-month deals with ROH.
Ooh.
Yeah, which means their deals are already like 3 months up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Or 2 months. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is like I look at this and I see probably almost like a PWG level of hype style.
Absolutely. This is just going to be, yo, that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be fun. Really fun. Ospreay is going to be doing flips off the roof of the building.
I'd like some. I'd like stereo rainmakers to happen, like for Okada and Ospreay to stereo rainmaker the Young Bucks.
Well, Ospreay does that like rainmaker setup to like the Spanish Fly,
and but he's done the rainmaker before. Dumb. He's done the rainmaker before, though. I want to see him just do it.
Has he?
I think so. Yeah,
I've only seen him do the rainmaker setup into the Spanish Fly, and it looks really dumb.
Double rainmaker pose.
Yeah. Oh man, Ospreay still bothers me, man. I like his matches, but there's something about that kid that bothers the shit out of me.
I think that's the point. He intends it to be that way.
It could be. I'm just working myself.
All right. So that's the On Rising shows.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
Maybe in talking to you, it's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. I think I'm just excited because we haven't had New Japan in a week.
So here's
I'm ready for some shows.
This Tuesday, we have the Togi Makabe 20th anniversary spectacular taking place. I'm still waiting for part two of that interview.
I know, me too.
This card looks a lot less fun than the other ones.
Yes. Let's actually talk about that interview for a second.
Sure.
New Japan, their English website is starting to post interviews, and they're doing, like, a few days after the cards, they're doing, like, the interviews with the wrestlers backstage, and they're translating them. It's really good stuff. Go to njpw1972.com and just check it out, because you actually sent me the Makabe interview or told me about it to go and check it out. And it was really cool. It was interesting, and it made me appreciate Makabe just a little more.
Yeah, this website, this New Japan website, if it were updated to like to the level of things that we expect things to be updated, I'd be a little bit happier. But dude, the way that they go so in depth with their match results, where they get the report. They call it the match report column, and it's like they do it for every match, and there's a rundown. I'm just looking at the one from the New Beginning in Osaka. Mm-hmm. I think they just released it yesterday. They have like they throw clips up there too, like clips and photos from the match, which they didn't do for the Sapporo one. Some really nice shots, if I'm being honest, of the action in Naito Elgin. And then they get the comments after of like where they are in the press area, and they're translated well, and it's a really nice, interesting fallout. This is a great website. The idea of it's great. I think maybe impatient me would like it instantly, but I'm willing to wait because it's good translation stuff, and it's more in depth and easier to read than reading it in a bunch of different breakdowns on Twitter. Because with Twitter, you only get so much space.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into the show. Our first match, we have Henare going up against Tomoyuki Oka. Again, I always like seeing the Young Lions. Their last match I thought was garbage. So I hope to get a little more out of this one. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't down on it on their other one, but that's the whole point, is to just do it so frequently that it just eventually becomes sort of a must see.
Mm-hmm. Our next match, we have Jado and Gato going up against Takamichi Nuku and El Desperado, who is making his return.
Yeah, I might just skip this match.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be missing much by doing that.
I won't skip it, but I might. I won't. I'm just saying it because I'm not happy with it.
this whole show is pretty weak.
It's again what it is. Is it, where is it? Is it in Korakuen?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I probably missed you saying that, but yeah, I was fine. Just reading. So yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be what it is. There's no reason to predict, because it's probably going to be about 7 minutes.
If that.
And El Desperado's probably going to get the pin, because he still has the most upside of the four of them.
Yeah. Our next match, we have Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, Yuji Nagata, and Shibata going up against Taichi, Kanemaru, Iizuka, and Minoru Suzuki. I hope this is the start of Shibata and Suzuki.
I fucking hope so too, because it could be the start of Shibata Iizuka.
Yeah, and Nagata Suzuki again. I don't think so. I think we're gonna start getting Shibata Suzuki.
Well, I'm all about Nagata Suzuki. But either way, yeah. I mean, this is what it is. Taichi Kanemaru. Taichi is the most hated wrestler in Japan right now.
I know. I really wanted them to switch out Taichi for El Desperado, because I know they're getting the upcoming tag title shot. Kanemaru and Taichi.
They might be doing Kanemaru Desperado.
But why wouldn't they put Desperado in this match?
I don't know.
Kanemaru.
I don't know. Time will tell.
Hopefully Taichi disappears.
Oof.
Our next match. We have David Finlay, Taguchi, Kushida, Juice Robinson, Tanahashi going up against Los Ingobernables de Japón. Yeah, this should be fun. I feel like we've seen this match.
This match is definitely going to be a fun one.
Yeah. I really... This card is not looking good to me.
Yeah, I mean, the next match doesn't seem... It's you know, it's got Okada in it. Mm-hmm. It's also got Kojima, which... They have good chemistry. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Yoshihashi won't have his Ring of Honor title by that time. So, he'll have no gold to wear to the ring.
Right.
But this should be okay. I mean, Goto Okada versus Tenkoji.
And Nakanishi.
And Nakanishi. Yeah.
I think you probably just confused our audience by the way you ran that match down.
Yeah, sorry.
So we have Nakanishi, Kojima, Tenzan going up against Yoshihashi.
On the bright side, this thing is probably going to be about two and a half hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's going to be easy to watch.
Right. Well, that's what... I don't even know if it's going to be that long. There's only six matches.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure they'll find a way to drag it out. I mean, just in the fucking Los Ingobernables entrance alone, which takes about 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. Our main event, we have GBH going up against Ishii and Yano. It's a
non-title match.
They should just make it a title match and have GBH go over here.
Yeah, I mean, that if it's the Makabe show, I mean, they're definitely going over here. So I guess that what
and,
the story
and then that
is,
leads
is,
to a title match down the line.
Yeah, they'll do it at a bigger show.
Yeah.
We got the Sakura Genesis as the next big show, and that's not until May or maybe April?
April.
I think it's in April. That's the next big show.
Well, the New Japan Cup final, there'll be some title matches.
Yeah, probably like a junior. That's probably where they'll do the RPG Vice versus. But they seem to be front loading these pay per views though, like they seem to be doing a lot more title matches. Like in the tour for the last New Beginning, they did all the titles in 2 days. Sakura Genesis is only one show, so I would assume they won't do all the titles, but they're still going to do most of the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sakura Genesis is essentially an invasion attack, right?
That's, yeah. Well, but it's got a new name.
An Invasion Attack, I believe they did all the titles last year.
That, but did they in one night?
Yeah, I went to it.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was Kushida Ospreay.
Yep.
The never six man was Omega and the Bucks going up against Tanahashi, Yoshitatsu, and Elgin. And then we had Okada Naito, Shibata Tenzan. I don't think the IC title was defended because Omega was champion at the time. But most of the titles.
That'll happen. That'll happen. We'll see. But so yeah, that's the card.
That card stinks.
We're definitely terrible hype men, but
the Honor Rising shows I think are going to be fun.
Yeah, we talked ourselves into that one. We'll see. Wait until we come back with our review.
Sure.
See what happens then. We'll see what happens then. But so a couple more odds and ends to get into is that they've announced only just a few matches for these New Japan anniversary shows. They have it's their 45th anniversary, and I don't know if it's going to be the main event. I would assume it's the main event. Their 45th anniversary show, they're going to do Kazuchika Okada against Tiger Mask W.
Yes.
Pretty much giving the champion what he wants. And then on the road to that, they're going to do a very interesting tag match with both Tiger Masks, which I think is a cool idea, teaming up against Okada and Gato. So I'm pretty excited about the prospect of where that could go. I mean, if you're really into speculation, it could lead to something huge, honestly. Probably won't, but maybe, you know, just thinking that if Okada picks up a win, or he picks up a Tiger Mask W, rolls him up for a pin or something, picks up a win on Okada, surprises him, he makes him eligible for the New Japan Cup or something.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, they're doing it for a reason, you know?
But it very possibly could just be another match, you know? So
I don't think so. I think there's a story to it. I think Ibushi, Omega, and Okada are going to be the top three guys over the next maybe year fighting over that title.
Ibushi has to just fucking sign a contract. They're not going to do it if he doesn't sign a contract, regardless of how much people want it. And you left out Shibata.
Yeah. I think Shibata finally wins G1 this year.
Maybe.
I do.
The New Japan Cup is coming up, and he very well could win the New Japan Cup.
I think Omega or Ibushi are going to win the New Japan Cup.
I think there's some interesting things that could come out of it. Again, I'm sure a lot of people hate fantasy booking, but you know, thinking about Shibata winning, I remember Kenny Omega saying in his Wrestling Observer interview that he had some plans to do some stuff with Shibata. Which sounds awesome to me, but who, you know, if there's a championship involved, who's the champion going into that? You know what I mean? Maybe this little short con story is at Sakura Genesis, Shibata will win the title instead of Kenny Omega, setting up a whole summer's worth of Okada not having the title.
That's possible.
Which would then also set up that speculation that always comes around when Okada enters the G1 without a belt. Which is Okada winning this again? So
right.
I know a lot of people will be very unhappy about that, But, you know, there's a lot of possibilities. There's a possibility that Okada does not even have the belt next Wrestle Kingdom. I certainly think that he should, but there's a lot of interesting things that can happen between now, the two major tournaments, all of the major shows that they have over the summer. I think they could very, very easily maybe run something, you know, a program between Omega and Cassie or Shibata. And you've got, you know, Minoru Suzuki who could challenge again. There's a lot of different possibilities. And I don't really think by and large that if Shibata challenged Okada at the Dome, they'd give him the win there. Which, you know, I think Shibata needs to have a really big win to put him into that upper echelon of talent where he's a main event guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So the New Japan Cup has not officially announced the participants. Typically,
no, I imagine we'll get it sometime this week.
It's most of the guys that aren't the champions, but Tetsuya Naito did declare that he was going to be in this. So take with that what you will.
Yeah.
Will we see Zack Sabre Jr. soon?
Well, the New Japan Cup champions aren't usually in the New Japan Cup, right?
No, but Naito said post-match in Osaka that he was going to be in the New Japan Cup.
Is he allowed to be?
He's a rule breaker, man. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's the badass. So I watched the English commentary, and at one point in the match, Naito just hawked a loogie over at what people assumed, or at least the commentary assumed it was Milano Collection AT, but it was definitely going towards Okada. So he's keeping their feud alive. And him declaring for the New Japan Cup means to me that he plans on winning it and challenging for the title. Or just taking one whole complete month off. just that would be a real good heel move to just win the New Japan Cup as a champion and just say, well, I'm not going to defend the title, and then just take the night off.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But
oh, no way. He's too much of a draw, but it would be funny. It'd be real heel heat, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what I want from him. I want him to be a real piece of shit instead of being like a tweener.
Yeah, that's our shows. I just read that Matt Riddle versus Dan Severin's happening WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, good lord.
I'm so into that.
You want Dan Severin to die?
Yeah, I kind of thought he already did.
Severin's in his 50s, man.
Yeah.
Maybe even 60. I don't know.
He's up there. I mean, he's getting up there. Yes, so that is our...
pretty much it. That's pretty much all we have to talk about.
Pretty much it. Yeah. So let's just do some plugs and get out of here. We, as always, are... Actually, real quick. Is Don Callis and Kevin Kelly doing the Honor Rising commentaries?
Actually, it is.
They have English commentary.
Yeah, Rocky Romero is going to be on commentary, but I want to say
it's Rocky Romero and Kevin Kelly.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Okay. Yep,
and I'm looking forward to Rocky Romero's commentary. I like him a lot.
He was great when he what show did he do? He did a show, maybe one of the G1s.
It was Carino. Oh God, what was it? Maybe the G1 finals.
I think it might have been the G1. He was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm definitely into another.
And he's perfect for the Ring of Honor shows because he is the go-between. Between Tiger Hattori, Rocky Romero is their liaison.
Yeah, totally.
From what I've heard, at least, that he does he communicates a lot with Ring of Honor.
He'll probably be in charge of if they open up the dojo in LA, he'll probably run that, I would imagine.
That's fantastic. It makes me want to go to LA.
He is also cast it on the new Sons of Anarchy spinoff show.
What?
He's going to be in it.
There's a new Sons of Anarchy spinoff show?
Apparently. I saw something about it the other day.
Is it like Grandsons of Anarchy? What is it going to be called?
I have no idea. I think it might be on the Mayans or something like that. It's like, I think it's going to follow like another motorcycle.
Did you say the Mayans?
I want to say, hold on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did I dream this?
I did not ever watch one singular episode of Sons of Anarchy, so I don't know.
Yeah, Mayans MC. That's what it's going to be called.
So it's going to be like a Latin American biker gang?
I guess. But Rocky Romero is going to be on it.
That must stand for Mayans Motorcycle Club.
Yes.
Good for Rocky Romero getting his pretty face in TV. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. We're fans of Rocky Romero.
I'm happy.
Apparently,
for him.
Trent Beretta last night had like an unbelievable match with Phoenix.
Where did that take place?
PWG.
Oh, yeah? Same show, huh?
Yeah.
Phoenix. Is Phoenix... I don't know. I don't watch any Lucha Underground.
Phoenix
so.
Is Pentagon Jr.'s brother.
Okay. Who's the guy that was in a team with Jack Evans that did that, like, that insane dive off the top of the building, dropkick into the ring?
Teddy Hart?
No, it wasn't Teddy Hart. I can't remember the kid's name. He didn't have a mask on, but he had a very luchador-esque name.
Okay. Well, Phoenix has a mask.
He wore yellow and black pants, and he was like an incredible flippy.
In like AAA or?
No, he's in Lucha Underground.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't heard anything about him lately.
I don't know. Lucha Underground's going to be on Netflix soon, which is nice because I'll binge watch a bunch of it.
Yeah. I did download it. And try to watch it. And I actually kind of enjoyed what I was watching, but it seems like it's too much.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but I think that that's also what they're going for. I watched the first five episodes.
The name of the guy is Angelico.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's real fun, actually. I liked what I saw. They have a lot of talent. Like, I'm looking at their Wikipedia, their roster. They have a lot of talent that has come in and out.
Lucha Underground? Obvious,
yeah.
Well, like, they have, like, Jeff Cobb.
It's true. I heard that, too, that Jeff Cobb was in Lucha Underground, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, he's under a mask. He's like Montezuma. I don't fucking know. But I didn't know that was him. And then I looked it up, like, who the guy is, and I saw it was Jeff Cobb, and I was like, holy shit.
Paul London is there?
Yeah, Paul London wrestled on that that Lucha Underground show that I went to in San Diego.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right. We had a very interesting show today. Not lots of important details discussed, but... yeah, let's get out of here, man.
Yeah. Oh, and to all guys, yesterday I got to try Pliny the Younger. To people who are very into beer, you know how hard that is to get. So it was delicious and awesome. And me and Jason were talking, and I think we're due for a drunk podcast soon. So we're gonna try to plan that in the next month. If you guys have suggestions on what we should be drinking during the podcast,
I think the gimmick is we're going to drink the same thing if we can find it. So that means that you're going to have to stay a little bit out of the West Coast. Cause like the only West Coast stuff that I really get an opportunity to get is some Stone. So we could have like a Stone.
Yeah, Lagunitas.
Stone is also very expensive for me. I would assume maybe the prices are a little cheaper because of the shipping costs and stuff. Yeah. But if I, every new like Stone six pack is essentially like $16-17, which is a lot of money for six beers.
But I could probably find some Colorado beers that I get.
Take a long. I don't drink like too frequently, so a six pack will last me a while. Mm-hmm. But I tend to like stock up. I buy a lot. Like there was this this Ballast Point one I tried that was brewed with beets. It's called Red Velvet. It's
well, Ballast Point is a San Diego brewery.
Is it? Okay. So then that one's I would recommend trying that. It's like a beet stout that tastes, it's got like chocolate nibs in it.
Oh,
very,
wow.
Very, very interesting. And they sell it in a nitro bottle.
Yeah. You know, Ballast Point actually sold to, Anheuser-Busch.
No way.
Yeah. Guess how much they sold for.
Oh my God.
If you could guess a number.
Any number?
Any number.
$7.
Close.
They My favorite sold, number, seven.
They sold for $1 billion.
Holy shit.
Yep.
And now they're fucking, they're owned by Budweiser.
Yep. And I know Lagunitas sold half their brewery to Heineken for $500 million.
Just as brewery space?
I don't know if it's like for a deal so they can like distribute more in Europe or something. I don't know the details. I just know how much they're selling for.
Big moves happen in the beer world.
Yeah, yeah. Owning a brewery is can get you a lot of money, apparently.
$1 billion. I mean, they are known for being like really, really elite. Like they have my favorite IPA of all time, that Grapefruit Sculpin. It does not get better than that.
And they've been around since like 85 or something. Like it's not a new brewery. Like they've been around for years.
They only just started popping up, and I knew them for a long time as the company that charges $15 for a six pack.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, I'll try it. And I probably spent a lot of money on trying different Ballast Point beers.
But yeah, we'll figure out what beers. Again, if you guys have any suggestions, hit us up on our Twitter. We'll do some plugs. Like I said, as always, we're part of the Wrestling World Podcasting Network. I'm going to try to plan some stuff with those dudes on they do like a throwback show where they review like an older show, like an old wrestling
so gonna,
or something like that.
You going to hop on an ECW throwback show?
I would love to. Absolutely.
Actually, I'll do it with you. So I can like just relentlessly rip on everything ECW because
yeah, let's talk to those guys and see if we can just do a special one where we review an old ECW pay-per-view.
Yeah, but one of the real bad ones.
Oh, well, Summer Sizzler.
Cyberslam
96. We'll figure it out. But yeah, support those guys. iTunes, Wrestling World Podcasting Network. Catch us on Facebook.
Yeah, they have a lot of fun content. They definitely have like they do. There's so many different shows that they do. I feel wicked lazy when it comes to like output. Cause even like sometimes just doing this is like schedules conflict and it's kind of hard and they are literally just plugging away doing shows all the time. So definitely workhorses over there at the Wrestling World Podcasting Network.
For sure. Catch us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/groups/strongstylecentral. On Twitter at Strong Style Cast. And that's about it, guys. Until next time, I am Mike Short. That guy on the other side is Jason Andrews. And this is Strong Style Central. Later.
Bye, everyone.